ministry of Lighthouse Christian Outreach Center. Our vision, bringing people into the full realization of their potential in God, and our mission, building a community of believers whose lifestyle positively influences change in the society. Welcome to Lighthouse. The Lighthouse, House 7, Plot 2/3, Kudrata Biola Way, Oregon, Ikeja, Lagos. For inquiries, please log on to www.lighthouseng.org.
Sickness was nailed to the cross. Poverty was nailed to the cross. So, those three things were what Christ redeemed us from. Spiritual death, poverty, and sickness. If you want to have a full understanding, go to the law, Deuteronomy 28. It gives you. And it gives you the blessing. The first 14 verses. And then you, from verse 16 to verse 68, there is no sickness that is operating in our world today that is not in verse 16 to 68. Depression is there. And he said he even had it. And some sicknesses that have not yet been discovered. So those are the curse of the law. So if you read it, it's categorized. So get back home. Deuteronomy 28. What most people read is the first 14 verses. They use it for prophetic utterance. That's all. But use, it say, verse 15 as a bridge, because you have to keep within that umbrella of grace so that verse 16 to 68 will not be operational. Christ has redeemed us from the curse of the law. Those are curse of the law. Spiritual death, separation from God. Even though people are still living, but they don't have a relationship, they are dead in their sins. In Ephesians chapter 2, verse 1, it said, you and me, when we receive Jesus, as he quickened, he has quickened us. We are made alive. If the Spirit of Christ, Romans 8:11, if the same Spirit that raised Jesus from the dead dwells in your mortal body, that same Spirit shall make alive. So today, because usually that's what happens, sickness is corruption of our bodies. But Christ has redeemed us. So what do we do today? We stand on the word of God. We align ourselves with what the word says concerning the subject of health. And that healing virtue is activated to flow because Jesus paid that price. So what is righteousness? It means aligning yourself with the way God sees you. You look at the word, declaring what God has said. He said, none of the inhabitants of Zion shall say, I am sick. So sometimes there is a physical evidence. But the spiritual reality says he was wounded for our transgressions. He was bruised for our iniquities. The chastisement that brought us peace. Disease is not peace. There is nobody in pain that is at peace. So Christ has redeemed us. Christ has redeemed us. If you are redeemed, you are redeemed. Nothing can unredeem you. The only thing that can unredeem you is if you insult the Holy Spirit and you say the blood is not at work anymore. Praise God. I said, praise the Lord. Just feel like preaching this morning. Someone say, preach. Yeah, so I am. That the blessing, all the curses, that the blessing, what is a blessing? Life and love. When you share in the life of God and you walk in his love, you enjoy joy, you enjoy peace, you enjoy fulfillment, you enjoy prosperity. He said that the blessing of Abraham, the father of Abraham, was an idol worshiper. Abraham was without God. Abraham was without any plan and purpose for his life. But he encountered God, and that changed the story of his lineage forever. So we call him Father Abraham because he entered into what we call a covenant relationship. And that's what happened. First Adam lost it and sold out. And so from every generation, but God had a plan of salvation. That's what Genesis 3:15 says. It said a seed of the woman. A seed. Has it ever occurred to you that women don't have seeds? That's the supernatural act of God. Because God has a plan. Because what he wanted to do is to match the corruption of the devil and override whatever the devil has done. God has a plan. Nothing surprises God. Before, who said this? Who made this statement? It was Jesus. Before Abraham was, I am. So, before man sinned, God already had a solution ahead of time. Praise the Lord. I said, praise the Lord. So we are redeemed from the curse of the law, which is spiritual death, which means separation from God, which has bought the sinful nature in man. That's what bought sinful nature in man. If you are separated from God, you can't see his plan, you can't see his purposes, you can't see his agenda, then the sinful nature. A person sin because of their nature. It's inevitable. If you don't have the nature of God, you will have the nature of the enemy. And the nature of the enemy is to buy sinful things. That's why as a Christian, you can't make, the Bible says that in 1 John, you can't make a practice, habitual practice of sin and its sinful habits. You can't. You won't grow that way. It diminishes your potential. It's like saying you have food in your house and you go to the market to go steal. I know you can't connect it, but that's where when we make practice of sin, that's what happened. So whenever a man is out of fellowship with God, it takes on the nature of the devil. That's for those who are not saved. And that's why for those of us who are saved, the Bible made provision. Even when you miss it, it makes provision for you to get back on line. It said when you sin or you do whatever it is, he said, confess, and then you are restored back into fellowship with God. The devil is a murderer. That's his nature. The devil still kills. That's his nature. But God's nature is life and love. He has redeemed us from the curse of the law being made, and so that we can receive the promise of the Spirit through faith. Then poverty, Deuteronomy 28, 14 to 68. Which is another curse of the law. And then sickness in Deuteronomy 28, you find it. And sickness is there. And these are three things that face humanity today, if you ask me. If you just go, run it through your mind. Wherever you see the devil at work, those are the three things that he plagues mankind with. But hey, what is our Lord if you have received Jesus? Romans 6:14. Sin. He didn't say sins. He says sin shall not have. In other words, sin is a nature. S-I-N. It's a nature. But for you who have received Jesus, sin shall not gain an upper hand over you. For you are no longer under the curse of the law. You are operating under the grace of our Lord Jesus Christ. And you know, just like Pharaoh doesn't have dominion over Israel after they cross the Red Sea, Satan does not have dominion over anyone except by consent or by their ignorance. He doesn't have dominion over anyone who has confessed Jesus as their Lord. Satan is defeated, is conquered. What we have, the nature we have, is the nature of the new creation. That's why we need to understand the gospel. Let's look at the word salvation. Before we look at the word, what is the gospel? The word salvation. Salvation is an all encapsulated word for the redemptive plan of God for mankind. So when you say salvation, is that complete package of the plan of God from Genesis 3:15 to John 3:16? Eh? John 3:16. Can we look at John 3:16 to 18, for example? John 3:16 is a package there. For God so loved the world that he gave his only begotten son, that whoever believes in him should not perish, but have everlasting life. Verse 17. For God did not send his son into the world to condemn the world, but that the world, the system, the cosmos, might be saved. He who believes in him is not condemned, but he who does not believe is condemned already, because he has not believed in the name. So there is a package. It's called salvation package. And that word salvation is from the Greek word soteria. S-O-T-H-E-R-I-A. Soteria. S-O-T-H-E-R-I-A. The word, the first word, soter, means savior. So in that word, it's translated, the word salvation means deliverance from sin, safety. No, not deliverance from safety, but deliverance from sin as it a topic. Then you are safe, safety. You are healed, healing. You have soundness of mind, soundness. You are justified, justification. You are sanctified, sanctification. You are righteous, righteousness. So it's an all-encompassing. That word salvation, it accommodates all those things that I've mentioned. Provision, preservation, healing, soundness, safety, deliverance from sin. And then the morality of not making habitual practice of sin. That's part of the salvation package. You know, some people are saved, and you can still see the difference. The things they used to do, they still do. And the thing they used to do, they are still comfortable with it. No, we must come. We must begin to grow up. Come, understand our salvation package. You have a first-class ticket in your hand. Don't be sitting in economy anymore. You know, you can have that first, you say it's on the same plane, but the treatment is different. You are a chosen generation. Sin is under you. Sin doesn't have an upper hand over you. So, salvation package means the morality that actually says, it's not self-righteousness, that say the things I used to do, I do them no more. I'm not doing them and confess after. I say, so God is rich in mercy. But you won't grow that way. That's what I'm saying. So soteria is that word. In it, we have a savior. So it's not something that we make up on our own. We have a savior. Jesus Christ, our Lord. Sin is not my Lord. Say that with me this morning. I have a savior. I have a savior who saved me from sin. So salvation, please let me also say that package. It's not just one-way ticket to heaven, because we have also preached that. And I'm not saying, and don't, please, read your Bible
Read your Bible, pray every day if you want to grow. We are not going to stay in heaven forever. We are coming back. But the difference will be, it's the reign of Christ. Sin will not be mentioned. Stress will not be mentioned. Because the original intention of God is that there is a garden. So we are coming back to fulfill that word. And then he said the testimony, if you read Revelation, is that the tabernacle of God has now resided with men. And I've mentioned to you in the time past, I already picture in my mind what I will be doing. There will be nobody to preach to. So I will be a pilot. Because there will be a whole lot of economic activities. So you should understand. It's a complete package. Man is a spirit. Spirit don't die. So even if you die, if you pass in this middle, in this transition or in this block of time, it's just a transition. That's why even if someone is crippled physically now, I'm so glad. The Bible says something in 2 Corinthians 5:1. It said, we will be changed. We have a body. You know, if some of us, we go with this, our body. Argument, Mark, what you never know. No, you have a transformed body. All that will be coming out of you is worship. So, for us, death is not the end. It's a transition. And the gospel, for you to understand the gospel, when Jesus rose from the dead, everybody who died around that same time, they also rose. Their family members saw them. Read your Bible very well. So, resurrection is not just something that God did in one corner. No, it was real. You will have a glorified body. In other words, space, matter, all these things doesn't. You can walk through door, you can walk through everything. And Jesus showed that to us. So I have not embraced religion. Only me pay. And if this thing is not working, I won't be here. It's working. The life of God is real. That's why I said it. I'm not afraid of death. As a matter of fact, you know what I say? My wife is here. I won't say it, but I will say it. Do you know that sometimes I wish I depart from this body? So that's how much confidence. And that's what Paul says in Philippians 1. Whether we are present here, we are absent here, we are with the Lord. And that's what you need to understand about what you have. I'm not a riffraff somewhere. I'm not somebody who doesn't know where they're going. There is what is called the plan and agenda of God for every life. And you can have it. You can bat it in the place of prayer. In the place of your communion with God. And it may not have anything to do with ministry holding microphone. As a matter of fact, maybe few of us we do. But there is an agenda that can help a generation. There is an agenda that can change the face of science and technology, the face of fashion industry. There is an agenda in the mind of God. And we can tap, believer, because the Holy Ghost resides in us, we can tap into it. I think I begin to run off now. So it's beyond just something that you did somewhere. Come out, repeat after me. Jesus is Lord. Jesus, and the thing is not even touching your heart. Maybe you are spying one girl so that he can know you don't burn. No, it's beyond that. It must become real to you. That's some of the things we did. We follow babes to fellowship. But after all, they didn't agree, so we stopped going. It's not just one way ticket to heaven. It is good news of reconciliation between. There was hostility. Sin brought hostility between God and man. So there was a restoration. And that message of restoration is what we have, that man or men can be reconciled back to God. So what is the gospel now, to close? What is the gospel? The gospel is the power of God which births salvation in mankind to reveal God's kind of righteousness so man can live victoriously. The gospel is the power. You can't do any, you can't serve God in your strength. It's the power of God which births salvation in mankind to reveal God's Son, His kind of righteousness, so that we can live victoriously. It may not have crossed your mind, but the reason why God sent Jesus is to show us how to live. How to live. So it's not just a salvation experience that God just leaves you to walk through life. No. Acts 10:38 confirmed that. How God anointed. So you can't live your Christian life without the power of God. How God anointed Jesus of Nazareth, so it was personalized. The anointing to live must come upon you. John 1:12 says how it comes. As many as received him, he gave them power to become. Power to become sons of God. So, the gospel is the power of God which births salvation in mankind. That's why he says, therein is the righteousness of God, the right standing with God, the life of that God wants us to live. That's where it is revealed. Righteousness is not man-made. Do's and don'ts rules in order to appease God. Please understand, self-righteousness, you have all those rules for yourself, may not stop the habitual practice of sin. It doesn't even stop it. You'll be surprised at yourself. That's why the Bible is so clear. He who thinks he stands should take heed. There is nothing this flesh can offer you. But with God, with the Holy Spirit doing his work in you, and you are yielding to him, you can live victoriously. So, righteousness is the most powerful force in the universe. When you have a biblical understanding of it, you are set for victorious living. So, the gospel is the revelation of God's righteousness. The gospel is the revelation of God's kind of righteousness. You know, Paul wrote in one place, he said, those people did not believe the gospel, so they go about establishing their own righteousness. No, but the gospel is the revelation of God's righteousness. I said it earlier on, inherent in man is sin consciousness. But the understanding of the gospel will usher us into become righteousness consciousness. You know, you can become sin conscious to the point that you are just doing whatever you are doing so that you won't fall into sin. You will eventually fall into sin. Job 3:25 says, that which I greatly fear has come upon me. But when you are righteousness conscious, it helps you, it gives you, empowers you to live the way God has designed us to live. I said, and I close with it, it is very easy for man to believe that we are sinners because the Bible said Adam sinned and it passed to everyone, than to believe that we are righteous. But that's the message of God to us. You are the righteousness of God in Christ Jesus. Do you feel like it? You may not feel like it. But you should know it. And how do you know it? When you are saved, you know it. Righteousness is imparted into you at your salvation. You don't grow in righteousness. I shocked you with that. You don't grow. Lord, make me more righteous. You are wasting prayer. It's given. It's given to you. So when someone is saved,
Five things happen to them. Number one, they access or access God's forgiveness. When someone says, I am saved, these are the five things that will happen in your life. You've accepted God's forgiveness. Ephesians 2, verses 1 to 10. And if you read it, it says, we are dead in our trespasses, in our sin, but he reached out to us. By grace, we are saved through faith, not of your ourselves. It is the gift of God. You read it, Ephesians 1 to 10. He said, but God, who is rich in mercy, he said, for by grace are ye saved through faith. It's not of ourselves. It's a gift. So when someone is saved, you access God's forgiveness. Secondly, you access God's life. When you are saved, you access it. You access it. 2 Peter 1:4, he said, according to his divine power, according, he has given us, so is his life, exceedingly great. You know, these are one of the verses in the scripture that tautology was used, because that's the only way they can help us understand it. Exceedingly, that's a standalone. But he said exceedingly great. Great is another standalone. Precious promises is another standalone. But the Bible translator couldn't just imagine the word. So they said, he has given to us exceedingly great, fresh and precious promises, that through this, not our own self-righteousness, we may become partakers. So we are gods walking on the earth. We are partakers of the divine nature. I don't have the nature of the devil. I don't have demons living on the inside of me. I have an understanding of the gospel. There is what? Corruption that is in the world. Through what? Not under the bondage of sin anymore. So we access God's life. Thirdly, we access God's unfailing love. We access God's unfailing love. 1 John 3:14. We access God's unfailing love. 1 John 3:14. We access God's unfailing love. He said, we know. So you must know. If you are saved, you must know that you have passed from death to life. We have passed. Not that we are passing. We have passed. Then fourthly, you access the opportunity or privilege to be called by God's name. You access it. It's a privilege. 1 John 3:1, it said, behold, what manner of love. It's a manner of love the Father has bestowed. Did we merit it ordinarily? No. When you are bestowed, when you say someone is bestowed a honorary degree, a doctorate degree, honorary, they use the word. The person didn't write any thesis. But does that make you not to call the person doctor? Yeah, he is doctor because he's bestowed, he's an honor. The same way, to be called a child of God is an honor. People don't understand it. So, that's why he said, we know no man after the flesh. You said that one? She has committed 10 abortions. In fact, everybody in Lagos has slept with her. No. The day she gave her heart to Christ, she is a brand new creation. All things are passed away. All things. He said, we judge no man after the flesh. I know your mind can't comprehend that, but that's the truth. Because I've seen people in that same category. God gave them brand new wombs. And the people who are doing self-righteousness. Lastly, they access the victorious living. The victorious life. You access it. When you are saved, you access it. So it's not left for us to now begin to utilize it. Colossians 1:13-14. So please understand, we are now ambassadors of Christ and we have a responsibility. So if we understand the gospel, then it becomes very easy for us. Hey, I will admit to you, because some people might say, okay, so I need to first settle all this
for myself before I now become an ambassador. No, you can be a work in progress and be a witness. In fact, that your work in progress is number one message to someone who has not been introduced into the life of Christ. I pray that the Lord, the Holy Spirit, will give us further understanding. The gospel, that is the plan of God for salvation of mankind. That's the plan of God. Things that people meddle into, if they can just have access to the gospel, hey, their lives, they will be saved, their life will be better, and then we will have a better place in our world. I pray that the Lord our God will give us, because so much is upon us. We are not living in the day of John the Baptist. We are not living in the day of Jesus. We are living in a peculiar age that has its own peculiar challenges. And God has remnants here in you and me. And that's why we can't be ashamed of this gospel. Because this is the power of God unto salvation. That's where righteousness is being revealed. People are killing other people daily in the name of their own gods. But hey, we can. The gospel is the gospel of life, love, peace, joy. And that is the messenger that we are. We are the messenger of life. So where there is confusion, we have the solution to sow peace. Where there is chaos, we have the solution to bring the gospel. He said, I am not ashamed of this gospel. Whether it's among the elite, that's what Paul says, or among, he said, I will preach the gospel in and out of season. I am not ashamed of this gospel. I know this is the power of God unto salvation to everyone who believes. Bow down your heads with me and speak to the Lord this morning. Just speak to the Lord. You are an ambassador. You are a chosen generation. I want you to speak to the Lord. We can't be lured or choked in by the challenges of our environment, and we become ineffective when it comes to the gospel. I want you to just speak to the Lord. There is a grace that is upon every one of us. Where God has planted you and I, it's not by mistake. It's not by mistake that you are in that office. It's not by mistake that you live in that community. It's not by mistake that you have those business partners. It's not by mistakes that you are in that school. So we are representative of God. I want you to just ask for the grace to continually be a witness, the grace to be a witness to the power of the gospel. If the gospel is doing so much in your own life, and if you have that understanding, you can't afford to keep quiet. That's one of our reality as believers. He has saved us so that we can reach out in his love to other people. Father, we bless your name. We give you praise and paraphrase.
This message is brought to you by Lighthouse Christian Outreach Center. The Lighthouse, House 7, Plot 2/3, Kudrata Biola Way, Oregon, Ikeja, Lagos. For inquiries, please log on to www.lighthouseng.org. For more,